This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 345. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's pre-convergence fever for Ice, Fire, Spiral, and Alec, while Fred is of two minds. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 8th, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. Or you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we're now in March, and with Convergence beginning next month, DC titles have two choices. Either wrap up their current storylines, especially those titles being canceled, or just ignore it and tell the readers, well, we'll see in 2 months. And we have some examples of each. Justice League 3000, number 15, by Giffen and DeMatteis. We get a parody cover where the characters are saying, but this doesn't happen in the book. Well, since when has that mattered? Good call. And we
and then there's the little arrow that says all of this and maybe fire too. You know, it's very JLI-ish. I think.
Well, yeah, because it's that team.
Yes.
And we also get a quasi conclusion to the Ice story. We learn that Fire and Etrigan are lovers.
I think we learned that in the last issue.
Maybe I blanked that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Diana and Terry, the new Flash, are arguing. As are the rest of the Justice League, which is that's what they do in this title.
Well, and then it makes Ice feel like she's back in the old JLI.
Because they're always arguing. But they're going to ride on to save Ice's castle anyway. So the demons attack, and Ice arrives and is appalled by all the damage being done to her castle, so she just freezes all the bad guys and ends the battle. But then Fire and Ice meet, ready to fight each other, and then they realize they can't fight each other. Because they're such good friends. And of course, during all this, the castle that the Justice League has been inhabiting on this faux Camelot planet is left unprotected, allowing Lois Lane and the Injustice League to move in.
So do we know why Lois Lane is an evil villain in this one?
We have no clue at this point.
Okay.
And at the bottom it says, you think you know where this book is heading? Think again. Well, one thing we do know is that the title is going to be renamed Justice League 3001 post-convergence.
Oh, it would be nice if it was more Justice League International.
Yeah, well.
We need Booster and Beetle to make another appearance and get them back together with Fire and Ice.
I'm hoping they didn't just run off somewhere else and they're not going to come back.
Well, there would be no point of having introduced them
right,
if they did.
I would hope not. Grayson number 8 by Celian King. Well, this is definitely a wrap-up of the first story arc. We see Grayson in his role as the gym coach at the girls' school, with the girls naming his left and right buttocks.
Yeah, that was kind of silly.
Helena is shot by the mysterious spiral leader, and Dick goes after him while the girls go grab their masks.
Because remember, they are like, you know...
vigilante. And we learn why Spiral has been collecting these organs that seem to have various powers. It's been to build Paragon, this being that has all of the powers of the Justice League. So essentially, they built another Amazo. Fortunately, Dick was trained by Bruce, so he knows how to stop all the various Leaguers. That's great to know that Bruce kind of knows, this is how I fight this one, this is how I fight this one.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, the girls distract the bad guy, and then Dick takes him out with a gun, which is like, wow, because he's been kind of staying away from the whole gun thing a lot on this.
Well.
And then Helena takes out the spiral leader, except that she doesn't, because it was some construct of his.
Yeah.
But the real leader is killed by, who I have to assume is Kathy Kane.
Why do you assume that?
Well, because they reference Agent Zero.
Oh, okay.
From Batman Incorporated.
Oh.
And that was Batwoman? Remember that?
No, okay. I really don't.
Well, there was a storyline in the otherwise, well, not completely bizarre Batman Incorporated title where they incorporated the Silver Age Batwoman as this spy.
Okay.
And so I think that's who that is. So it's basically going to be a new mission post-convergence. Swamp Thing number 40 by Sewell and Saez. So this is one of the few remaining original New 52 titles, and this is the final issue. Alec has called up all the previous avatars of the Green in order to fight the machines of the Rhythm. Arcane is thrown out of the Green. The older avatars follow Alec out to the battle, although they know it's going to destroy them to do so. Holland is attacked and ends up in a library. And throughout this story, there's been a narration about stories and about words and art.
It really was reminded me of Unwritten.
Oh, absolutely
there.
It is.
It's like, really?
And so now we meet the narrator, the avatar of art, I guess.
Yeah.
It's this creature made out of pieces of paper. And Alec is asked to stay with them, but he has to return to the battle, of course. So Holland, now with his powers amped up by the other avatars, takes out Lady Weeds, and the Justice League turns her into a robot dog,
yeah,
like an Ibo.
Well, I don't think it was her that was turned into a robot dog. I think it was the rest of the, you know, like their parliament of
the machines.
Machines is in the robot dog, and they have to learn.
Once they can play with others, they can reconnect to the net.
Exactly.
And in the last page, Alec is reading 100 Years of Solitude back in the Green. As you mentioned, the last issue really seemed to go into Unwritten territory.
Yeah.
In a literally poetic ending.
Yeah, so, you know, it didn't end well for Unwritten either. So there you go. Both canceled.
Right. Angel and Faith, Season 10, Number 12 from Dark Horse by Gishler and Conrad. So we get some background about the mysterious demon and a little bit more about Fred, who's just returned. The demon lived in the old days, and when we say old days, like, you know,
apparently,
beginning of the universe
days,
and was a member of a warrior elite that did a whole Ponfar kind of ceremony where they have bloodlust for a month and they go out into the wilderness. And when he returns from this, his village has been wiped out. The elders frame him for the massacre and put him in suspended animation, some sort of magical suspended animation, until the whole seed being destroyed thing occurs, and that allows him to escape. So now he wants to find Illyria and ask her, you know, to try to find out what happened. Illyria is conveniently still inside Fred, but unconveniently doesn't want to let her out.
Yes.
Which understandably does not want to let her out because she's one of the old gods and things go very badly when she's out. So Angel now has to either protect Fred or help out this demon.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the series, although I still need to watch
the actual TV series
in order to fully understand what's going on.
I think you do. Maybe we should start that now.
I don't know. Maybe. So I wanted to take a minute and talk about the new Supergirl TV series. This is because they just released pictures of the costume.
Which
this
looks
week.
Really cool.
Yeah, and it's very much in the Silver Age design. At the same time, it's also muted colors, which is what we're seeing from most of the DC heroes.
On TV.
And frankly, in the movies. Now, this is the first time, of course, that there's been going to be a superhero and TV show really going back to the Wonder Woman series from the 70s.
And this is not going to be camp, it doesn't sound like.
It certainly doesn't. It's from the same producers as Arrow and Flash.
But not in the same universe. It seems like the CW didn't want this show, right?
Well, it almost seems like CBS took it from them because they're sister companies.
Hmm.
And there's been talk from the executive producer of, well, we still wouldn't mind doing some sort of crossover. But then the executive's like, oh, no, 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 there won't be crossovers.
Right. Well, and I don't see quite how they could, because I think it's been established in what they've released about the show that Superman is going to exist in the universe, although we'll never see him.
Although they did put out a casting call that they were looking for someone who would might even just see the back of him. like he would be in a severe cameo, maybe not even have lines.
Right. But it's not like he's going to be a character.
No, no, you're correct. And so Melissa Benoist is the titular character. Other than I'm assuming she's going to get a blonde wig at some point.
Well, isn't her picture in the thing in a blonde wig?
No,
in
it's
costume?
More brown hair, I would say.
Hmm. Well, you know, superheroines don't have to be blonde.
Well, except it is Supergirl. Some of the other actors who have been announced, and this show is actually starting production, I think, this next week.
Mm-hmm.
Calista Flockhart as Cat Grant.
Yes.
And she's apparently now more of an executive role than what she's been in the various incarnations of the character in the past. Laura Benetti is Alora Zor-El, so it's
her
birth mother. And then the big question mark is to who they're going to play. Dean Cain and Helen Slater are in it. They haven't said who their characters are. I almost have to assume they're going to be the Danvers, who are her adoptive parents.
Now that would be cool. Well, I think that would be really neat.
And of course, Dean Cain was Superman in Lois and Clark series, and Helen Slater was Supergirl in the otherwise horrible 1980s movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got David Harewood playing Hank Henshaw, who eventually becomes Cyborg Superman. Mehad Brooks as James Olsen. So we have a black Jimmy Olsen. Again, kind of playing around with the normal stereotypes that you see in the comic books, just like they did with Flash.
Yes.
So we'll see how this goes. It's not going to be out until the fall, the last thing we've heard.
If it actually ever comes out.
If it ever actually comes out. Although, the amount of fuss they're making about it.
Well, I think it did have a 13-issue or a 13-episode episode commitment. Although we could call them issues here. It's a
right.
comic book.
Right, right. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm kind of tired.
Oh, goodness.
That time change.
I guess.
Okay, so are you ready, Mark?
I think I'm ready.
Here we go.
Is it TV related?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a woman?
No.
Is it a man then?
Yes.
Let's see. A man on a current television show?
Yes.
Current TV show. And okay, is it a comedy?
It's funny, but it's not a comedy.
Funny, but not a comedy. Is it on one of the three major broadcast networks?
Yes.
Is it on CBS?
No.
ABC?
Yes.
It's okay, so it's a... is he the lead of the show?
Yes.
Lead of the show on ABC. It's not really a comedy. Is it genre-related?
No.
Okay, is it procedural?
No.
Let's see. It's in prime time on
no.
ABC? No. Is it Kimmel?
It is Kimmel.
What is Kimmel Woo-hoo. Doing on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
I don't know, but but it is him, and you got it. So you win this week.
Huh.
With no hints at all.
My goodness.
I'm very proud of you, Mark.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Twitter is @sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. You can call us at 614- 321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.